Matthew chapter number 21, excuse me, verse number 28, the parable is this. Let's read it together. Jesus says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father?" They say unto him, "The first." Jesus saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the word of God, and I just pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would have free reign today. Teach us and challenge us and encourage us, rebuke us, help us. Whatever our spiritual need is, I pray that we'd all be attentive. As I read in my devotions this morning, help me to listen diligently, Lord, to the Word of God this morning. And I pray that, Lord, you just speak to us as only you can. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. In this passage here, this man has two sons, and there's some work to be done in the Father's vineyard. We have been praying, and I think one obvious application to this passage and one lesson the Lord is teaching is that there is a work to do. The world is the field. We pray every Sunday night that the Lord would send forth labors, and that is something we acknowledge and God laid upon our heart to be praying each and every Sunday, and God has been answering that prayer. I left here Friday and pulled out after being here most of the morning and went out, and as I drove away, I saw, Joshua Edom. He was working on something, and Matthew were working on their own little projects, and Brother Price was carrying something to the building, and I thought about how we just secured Wednesday, going to have the Bible Club on Wednesday, and I was thinking about visitation starting this Wednesday and I thought about the nursing home, and my mind just started running through all the people running around and all the people being done, and I thought, God's been answering that prayer, and seeing laborers and so many laborers. And actually, tonight after church, I encourage you to be here. I just need to share something else to pray about. And so I'll share that with you. Good news there, too. But the Father desires for us to be busy working the field. And here in this passage of Scripture, there are two sons that he has that he goes and asks them to work in the field. Now, I just want you to consider, let's kind of tear this apart here real quick. I want you to think first of all and meditate with me here first of all on this, all right? The request. The request. Again, in verse number 28, he says there, "A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" The request. By the way, he had the same request to both sons. As the Bible says there, he likewise came to the second. But I want us to consider the request this morning. The request that the Father makes. The request, first of all, I want you to notice that he spoke to them as individuals. He could have brought them in, right, and met with both of them at the same time, but he didn't. He went to one and then he went to the other. Now, the request was the same for both of them. The invitation was the same. But he called the individual to the service. See, what are you trying to get to? I want you to think with the grander scheme there, with the application we're making, that God's will for us, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, is to bring people to Christ, to glorify the Lord, and to be a light in this dark world, a reflection of the Lord's glory. That's what God wants us to be. And while that is God's request and God's desire in my life, it's the same desire in Brother Fountain's life, it's the same will for Brother Haddix's life, it's the same will for Miss Carol and my wife, it's the same will for every one of us in this room. God wants all of us to fulfill this living on this earth. That is our work. And then God will give us our ministries. God will give us, what he wants us to do. But the fact is this, he comes to us as individuals and asks of us, are we willing to do what God wants us to do? It is easy for me to stand up here today and to look at everyone and say, God wants us to bring souls to him, glorify him through our life and our worship, and reflect him to a lost world. It is easy for me to say that. Now I want the application, if I actually did this, to say, all right, everybody understand that's God's will, amen? All right, here's the application. You don't have to answer. But will you do it? I mean, it's easy to sit here and say God wants us to win souls to Christ, glorify him through our worship, and to reflect his glory with our life and be a light in this world by living a holy life as he is. Amen? That's God's will. So did you do it this week? How many people did you tell about Christ? How many times did you let your testimony down? I mean, it's one thing to say it, but notice the Father just didn't gather everybody together and say, we need to do this work. He went one by one and brought in his sons and looked him in the eye and said, will you do this? And I want us all to take this question individually today. I want us all to take this question personally today. Because when God calls the service, is God calling men to be pastors and missionaries? Amen. He is. So men, if God called you, will you say yes? It changes everything, right? Makes it really personal, right? God wants all men to be saved, amen? And when I say that, I mean all mankind, all right? God wants everyone to be saved, amen? Don't die out on me, keep amening, all right? That's truth, all right? God wants everybody to be saved. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every soul to go to heaven. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Because that call, yes, is for everyone, but every individual must answer. Have you chosen to receive Christ? So I want you to see, first of all, that he spoke to them as an individual with this request, but then I want you to consider that he spoke to him as a son. It says there in the verse, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, and what's the first word he said? Son. Son. What was he going to ask him to do? Go work in the field. Right? He's going to ask him to work in the field. And he comes and he speaks to him as an individual. But then his first word that he says is what? Son. Why? There's a relationship here. Amen? If you're saved today, say amen.
Amen.
That means you're a child of God. Amen?
Amen?
So when God speaks to us, he speaks to us as his... You're his child, right? Now, why would he mention that? He could have just said, sat down and said, there's a work to do. But his first word he says is, he says, son. Now, why did he say that? Because there should be something in your heart, a duty there, a responsibility that is understood. You follow me? There's something there that you understand, you know, that needs to be done. If Brother Doug back there had something that, you know, something tragic happened, you know, the fence got knocked over, the cows are running loose, all right? Not that ever happens. But he needs help. And he looks and he picks up the phone, and Jordan answers the phone. He says, son. And when Jordan hears his dad say, son, something in him, that's my dad.
Right.
Dad needs something. You know, mom will do that. Dad was, you know, he always needed something. If I ever stopped and saw dad, it was 30 minutes. Not just a visiting time. He had a list. Why you're here, right? And I knew, right? And I was glad to do it. I was glad to do it because I was a son. A if he had a need, I didn't expect Tyler, even if Tyler would help, but I didn't expect Tyler to stop what he's doing and run to the house and help my dad. He probably would. But he doesn't have the urgency and understand the need like the son does. Because as a child, there should be a sense of duty. I mean, if hope it doesn't happen, but Brother Shane's walking out to his car and he falls and he hurts himself. He looks up and sees Corby over there and he says, "Son, help." You think Corby's just going to be like, "Eh, whatever, Dad. I know Corby."
Right.
When his dad says, "Son, I need your help," Corby's going to run over there as quick as he can and do whatever it takes because there's a relationship there. Your heavenly Father, who has made you one of his children, which is one of the most awesome, unbelievable thoughts that you can possibly meditate on today. You have become a child of God. He wants to be your father. That's the relationship he wants. And he looks at all of us today and he says, "There's a work to do." And so he sits us down as individuals, and I want you to look into his eyes this morning and hear him say this, "Son, I need you." There's a sense of duty there when it's your father. I believe there's a sense of debt there. A debt. This is really simple, right? But that vineyard that his dad had grown, that vineyard that was in all this production that had all these grapes, and obviously there was a work to do and it needed to be done, all right? That doesn't happen in a year. I'd say that father probably inherited it from his father. At the very least, that father had spent a lot of years working, planting, pruning, making sure that that vineyard had become something that could sustain their family. Right? And that father would one day die. And that son probably get that vineyard. Right? And he looks at him as an individual and says, "Son." And there ought to have been some sense of duty that swelled up inside of him. "That's my father. He needs me." And then there should have been a debt there. "I'm going to get this one day. Look what all he's done to hand to me one day." His dad had worked that field. He had sweat. He had bled. He had done all these things that he could one day give this to his sons. And they were going to inherit it. Oh, praise the Lord. One day, we are co-inheritors with Christ. We, as God's children, we get to go to heaven. And we get to live in the Father's house. And all that is there is ours to enjoy. Amen. What an unbelievable thing that is. And so now the father says, "Son, I need you to work this." Knowing what he's put into this, knowing what Christ has done for us, knowing everything he's done so we could have all that we're going to inherit, and knowing what lies ahead of us, shouldn't we want to say, "Absolutely, sir." Because he spoke to him as a son. And there should have been a duty and a debt that he owes all so much to his dad. By the way, had taken care of him. Right. That boy didn't grow up without a roof over his head. That boy didn't grow up without food on the table. That boy had lived years, how many? I don't know, 16, 17, 18, 20, 30. I don't know what point, doesn't say, but the fact is this, his dad had taken care of him and raised him. And everything he had is because he had a dad that took care of him. Everything I've got, everything you got in this world is because you have a father who's taken care of you. A father who has made sure his child, just as we read in our opening scripture, his needs were taken care of. And as you seek the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. And the fact is this, that when God speaks to us, and he is this morning, there's a work to be done. The field needs to be worked. And he looks to us as an individual. It's not just for... And I understand the Great Commission was given to the church, but the church is made up of people.
Right.
And you have to respond today And we need to understand he speaks to us individually and as a son out of this debt and out of this duty that ought to be there. And there was a depth to this. I mean, years of living together and fellowshipping together, there ought to have been a love there. That when he said, son, yes, sir. So he spoke to him as an individual, he spoke to him as a son. Then I want you to see this in this request, that he spoke to them about a work. About a work. It says there, a certain man had two sons. In verse 28, came to the first and said, son, go what?
Work.
Everybody look at me. We're not here to play all the time. It's Lester Roloff that always saying, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. I believe God wants us to enjoy life. I believe God wants us to be happy. I believe God wants us to spend time with family and friends. Relax, that's awesome. But understand, you ought to relax because you're tired from the work. What we're doing here, church, and the work of the church, the work that God wants us to do, it's a labor. It's going to take hard work. We live in a world today that doesn't want and doesn't like hard work. That's why you can't even go through a drive-thru anymore without taking 45 minutes, right? Nobody wants to work. You see now hiring signs everywhere. Nobody wants to work. I worked 2 years at Dunkin' Donuts recently and probably saw 20, 25 people come and go because they didn't want to get up. They wanted to leave. They were tired on their six-hour shift standing in front of a cash register. You know, it's exhausting. You know, it's not. I'm being very sarcastic, right? They might have felt tired because they ate 20 donuts, right? But, yeah. No one wants to work. And we all look at the world and say, yep, bunch of lazy people because we're hard workers. We're conservative Americans. We believe you ought to work hard. Earn your keep. If you have an able body, work. Amen? Yeah. We believe that. Yeah. Spiritually, it's the same. A lot of welfare Christians just like to sit on a pew and have everything handed to them. They never want to do anything for God. He said, son, go work. What are we praying for on Sunday night? That the Lord would send forth what?
Laborers.
Not babysitters. Not entertainers. When church and your spiritual life comes all about what you're, how you're entertained or how much fun it is or whether you know it's too hard or not, if you're going to do something for God, it's going to take work. And God expects his laborers to get busy in the work. So he spoke to them as an individual. He spoke to them as a son. He spoke to them that this was work. He then spoke to them that it needed to be done today. Look at the verse again. Son, go work. When?
Today.
Today. Amen? It's not a job that needs to be done next year. It's not serving God. It's not something I'll get to when I get older. A lot of our young people, you know, and I've been around so many years now, 46 plus in church. I've seen people go through Sunday schools and in the teen class, and then they just disappear. And I've heard this. Well, I'm going to go make some money, and then I'll come back, and I'll do something. And they never do. Because serving God is not something you plan to do later, it's something you do now.
Amen.
The will of God for your life is not something you got to go find hiding under a bush. The will of God is what you know to do that's right today. Do it. And every day doing right. When does God want you to get involved in the work as a laborer for Christ?
Today.
Amen? Today. He looks at his sons and he says, "Son, I need you to work today." He spoke to them also about, he called it my vineyard. My vineyard. It was the Father's vineyard. It's his work. All the earth is the Lord's and all that therein. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. And we get the privilege of working his field. Look at me. And one day becomes ours. Now it'll be a new earth. But this kingdom, we will live with him and abide with him for all of eternity. And what a day that's going to be. So you see the request, and I want you to consider the request that he spoke to them as individuals, he spoke to them as a son, he spoke to them about its work, he spoke to them it needs to be done today, and he spoke to them that you're working his vineyard. But then I want you to see the response. The response. In verse 29, the first son says, "I will not." Don't you kind of get mad at that boy? Have you ever seen a kid just totally blatantly disobey? Oh, it drives me crazy. I was in Kroger's the other day. It's like the classic, but it always happens, so I'm sorry, right? But in Kroger's, the mom said, "Son, come over here." He said, "No." And she said, I'm going to count to five. My parents never counted. There was a countdown going off in my head to what was coming, right? She said, 5, 4, 3. Then she starts slowing down counting, like that's going to change his mind. 2. And the boy's like, "What? Get over here." No. Drives me crazy. This guy looked at his father, who had taken care of him, provided for him, raised him, met his every need, and had something that one day he would be able to inherit. It was all his. And he said, "Son, would you go work in this field? I need your help today." And he said, "I will not." Wow. That guy's a jerk. He is. And you're afraid to amen a little bit because you know what's coming. So are we. When we see all that God's done for us and how he's taken care of us and provided for us, and he always watches over his children, and he has something wonderful for us to one day to be able to enjoy, and he says, "Can you today, son, work this field?" No. Nah. I like to go over there and I want to get 3 cars. I want to go over there and I like, you know, spending time on the sport, and I don't have time for serving the Lord. Shame on that boy. Shame on us. You don't have to come Wednesday night to be faithful soul winner. People's work and schedules and health is differently. And I'm not asking that. I'm just asking this. Have you told anyone about Christ this week? Do you find yourself tired from the labor because it is work? Your father needs your help. He's asking for help. Now that vineyard, I venture to say, would have been taken care of whether his sons took care of it or not. It's just a shame that this boy looked at him, and listen, I just wrote this down. The first son spoke wrong. He spoke wrong. But he ended up doing what's right. He said, "I will not." But afterward, he repented. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We can choose to do wrong, and maybe we come today dragging our feet and our trip it over our own bottom lip because we feel like we've been a failure. But if we repent today and ask God to forgive us, we can get busy right back there doing what God wants us to do, right in the will of God, pleasing our Father. Praise God. If you're not right with God, get right with him today. He ended up doing it. Second son, verse 39, he came to second and said likewise. It's the same thing to him. This son answered and said, I go, sir. That's awesome. Amen. Yes, sir, I'm heading to the field. But then he didn't go. He didn't go. The second son spoke right, but he did wrong. He said the right words, but he didn't do it. He knew that this was the word of his father. He knew it was time to do it. He knew, and there are so many people, you know, I doubt anyone that walked in, I doubt anybody walked in and said, I'm walking in, but I don't believe the Bible's true. I don't want God. Now, if you did come in that way, I'm still glad you're here, and I hope that God changes your heart today. But I'd say the great majority of people that walked in this room said, absolutely, God's true. Salvation true? Absolutely. Is every word inspired by the Holy Ghost for us? Absolutely. Is there a work to do? Absolutely. Are there souls dying and going to hell all around us? Yes, yes. Do they need the Lord? Yes. Do we have in our hands what will change their eternity? Yes. And it's easy to say it, but will you do it? I mean, this guy knew all the right words. He said all the right things. He talked about the Father's work. He knew how serious the Father's work was, but he didn't do it. And there's so many people that talk about salvation. They talk about repenting. They talk about believing. They talk about ministries. They talk about church. They talk about souls. This guy said, yes, sir. And I can probably, if I keep twisting your arm enough, I could get everybody in this room probably to at least mumble that we have a work to do. Amen. And I'm not going to twist your arms and make you say it. But it's easy to say it in church. What are you going to do in the field? What are you going to do this week? This boy said it. It's easy to walk in. I've met people that says, I know God's true. Yes, that is the Bible. Well, the Bible says, unless you repent, you'll likewise perish. The Bible says that you must be born again. There has to be a time in your life when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or according to the Word of God, you will die and go to hell. And I've sat across from people that says, I understand. But will you put your faith in Christ today? And they'll leave lost. That's a tragedy. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but Judas literally kissed the door to heaven. And he died and went to hell. You can sit in this auditorium for 60 years and die and go to hell. Because you as an individual must respond to the call of the Father. You can be saved and on your way to heaven and sit in this auditorium and live in sin, in disobedience to God. Because God is calling, and the Father said, would you help me today? No. I like my stuff. I like my entertainment. I like my life. God would interrupt all of that. God forbid. You see the request and you see the response. And we just close with a reminder. What's the Lord's point in this parable? Verse 31. Whether them twain did the will of the Father, they say to him the first. What's the point of this? The point of this, the Lord makes them answer, which one actually did it? Well, that first one that first said no. The other one said all the right things but didn't do it. And he's directly speaking to these scribes and Pharisees, people who knew all the right words to say, but it wasn't real in their heart. And the point of this parable is this. Church, don't just say it. Don't just amen it. Do it. Do it. It's easy to say God wants us to live for Him this week and glorify His name and work the field. That's the truth. Amen. But will you do it? Everyone's got to respond. Both those boys responded. We all will respond today. Let's make the right choice.